Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Welcome into Sports Saturday here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm not Stevie T. I'm Christopher T. In for Stevie T. Stevie T's got the day off, but it's Sports Saturday. It's Saturday. We're going to talk sports because that's what we're going to do. I'm going to take you up until Twins baseball coming up at about 5:30 live from Kauffman Stadium. The desperately seeking a win Minnesota Twins against the Kansas City Royals. Talk with Bobby Nightingale a little bit later on in the show about the Minnesota Twins, but we're going to kick it off with the Minnesota Vikings, because this is a season that Vikings fans, I don't know if you've been dreading it, but you shouldn't. This is a season you should embrace because there's so much uncertainty, and this is such an unusual position for the Minnesota Vikings to be in that this should excite you. The expectations are so low, but that could be a good thing. Because once you let Kirk Cousins walk, the intention for this season was clear. You're looking to hit the reset button and really mold this team in the vision of Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell. When they took over, there was a lot of work that they had to do with the roster, with the salary cap, and knowing what we know now, it was much worse. This is like going into a house and you have the inspection and you realize that's, you're seeing more mold. You've got termite damage and you're thinking, okay, we really have to do some work on this house before we're going to purchase. Because they had an aging roster with salary cap issues and they tried to run this team back several times. And they finally had to say this wasn't working. This is going to be a transition year, and Vikings fans, that's okay. Because teams do it all the time. The Vikings have always looked to try and ride that fine line. This year, you drafted a rookie quarterback. Granted, he's on IR. The reps in practice, he's not going to get those. That stinks. I don't think that's going to affect him long-term whatsoever. You added a few pieces to the defense. You locked in your right tackle, your left tackle, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson, and you know that you have a ton of cap space in 2024. So here's my question to Minnesota Vikings fans. You can call me or text me at 651-461-9226. It's the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. What is a successful season for the Minnesota Vikings? Is it hitting the Vegas over if you're a gambling degenerate like, you know, those of us in present company? I'm going to include my boy Josh Wheeler because you like to put a little bit of money down. And you,
I do. There's
nothing like a healthy sweat, right? I mean, it's good to have a healthy sweat.
Yeah. Okay? No, I get you. It's I probably would. Do we know what the over-under is right now?
Six and a half. Depending on what book you're looking at, it's 6.5 to 7. But I say 6.5.
I would hammer the over. I think this team's good enough for at least an 8th spot, if not better.
Okay. Well, yeah. See, that's going to be my question. If you're a degenerate like Josh is, 6.5, hammer the over. Is it beating the Packers twice? Is it being, quote, in the hunt? You know how you get those graphics in November and December and you're like, oh, in the hunt, even though you're like on the bottom of the graphic? Is that good enough? Is a success for you guys, is it being around 500, like Josh says, 8 or 9 or 9 and 8? Is it Justin Jefferson putting up massive numbers? Is it Sam Darnold putting up Kirk Cousins-like numbers? Is it getting in the playoffs? Or is success for Vikings fans bottoming out and getting a top 5 pick for next year? Because everything is on the table. We have no idea what this team is going to be, and that is the beauty of this year for Vikings fans. 651-461-9226. Because I got to tell you, for me, I think a success is just seeing some of these guys develop. I'm not worried about wins and losses. I've got exactly zero expectations, and that's okay. It's all right, because I heard my guy H. Lake last night talking about it as well, and he's absolutely right, and I kind of wanted to piggyback off of that. Is that it's okay to go into the season and not know what to expect. And we say that every year because the Vikings are just incredibly infuriating and inconsistent.
Here's the thing about that, though. You say that, but you can also, and I've analyzed it from front to back, you can also say that when you're in Chicago's shoes and you drafted the number one quarterback in the draft. I don't think you can really, as a Chicago fan, know what to expect with your team either. Even with the talent, you have an elite wide receiver just like the Vikings do. I'm not going to compare Caleb Williams to Sam Darnold because that's TBD as far as the talent level there.
But at the same time, they drafted Caleb Williams, number one overall, putting him in there. I mean, they've got expectations for Caleb Williams. Like, they are expecting to be a much better offense. Yeah, because you've got DJ Moore. Keenan Allen, you brought him in, banged up. I don't know that Keenan Allen is going to be the needle mover that they think that he is.
No.
But you did bring in DeAndre Swift as well. I mean, the Bears should have a better offense. There's no question. The Bears absolutely should have a better offense. But I don't know, like, the expectations for the Bears, I think, are going to be different than the expectations for the Vikings. The Bears are expecting to not be last place.
Yeah.
If the Bears finish in second or third in this brutal division, then guess what? It's a success for Chicago because they're taking a step up. But the Vikings, like, they've been a middle-of-the-pack team. Now, I know, there was going to be some regression. You know, when you're 13-4 a couple of years ago, that was smoke and mirrors. Last year, maybe the pendulum swung in the other direction. But you drafted J.J. McCarthy, not going to play this year. You drafted Dallas Turner. You've got Jonathan Grenard. You're replacing some of these other guys. You don't have a secondary to speak of whatsoever. You know, Stephon Gilmore, I know that the signing, it's like, okay, well, that signals that we're going to be competitive. Is it going to be enough to be competitive? I don't know. I think the Stephon Gilmore signing is just window dressing. It doesn't move the needle for me.
It's the same. I'm going to equate it to the Vikings retaining Harrison Smith. You know, it's like It's cool because you have that name, but let's be honest, isn't he on like a 1 year deal now? Like, isn't this Harrison Smith's basically goodbye season with the Vikings?
It could be every year.
I don't like calling him a non-factor because at his age and his skill level, he's been a, kind of still a factor, but also he's not among the top 20 safeties in the NFL anymore. Like, I've looked at the list, and there's been a lot of people that have kept him off that list going into the season.
But what is the criteria, though, for somebody like Harrison Smith to be a top 20 safety? I mean, the guy's 35 years old at this point. He's gone through multiple defensive coordinators. I think this is where Brian Flores and the Brian Flores impact really is a benefit to the Vikings, because you can take a guy like Harrison Smith. One thing that Brian Flores done is everywhere he's gone, and I know that Tua Tagovailoa has his issues with him when he was a head coach and, you know, all of that stuff. I'm not including that. But as a coordinator, he is as good as anybody the Vikings have had in many, many years in scheming and figuring out how to use people to their strengths.
Yeah.
So Ed Donatell, I'm not even going to put the D because there was no D Ed Donatell was here. He didn't know what to do with a guy like Harrison Smith. I feel like you can put him in different situations. You can disguise coverages because it allows Harrison Smith to do what he does best. And you're not expecting him to be that player he was 5 years ago. I feel like one thing with the Vikings is the safeties, as weak as the cornerbacks are, I feel like the safeties, it's one of the top five safety groups in the NFL. I mean, as a total, you know,
but you also mentioned, you know, the Gilmore signing, and we had caller on a couple weeks ago, I think when I was filling on the huddle, and he said that, and this was more of a, I guess, response to like the why of the why we signed him. Vikings maybe saw something like a missing piece to the defense to get them over that hump as, all right, we just need one more name to kind of get us into that conversation of, okay, we're an actual contender. Whether that is an actual, you know, to be the case kind of scenario for him is, you know, we'll see. But obviously the Vikings saw something in him at that age and that skill level where it's like, all right, now we're filled in. We filled in all the blanks.
Well, let me ask you this in terms of Stephon Gilmore in the secondary. What hump does he get you over? Does he get you over being a 5-win team to a 7-win team? Because this team, he's not the difference in a playoff spot. Like, Stephon Gilmore is not going to be the difference in a wild card or a division winning team. Like, this team, unless everything else falls apart in the division, they are not going to win the division. They're not going to finish second. I don't see that. And I'm a diehard Vikings fan.
No, but there's a legit chance this team will be fourth in the North.
Yeah, and legitimately. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because, again, you're going into next season with a ton of salary cap room. J.J. McCarthy, rookie, you know, essentially a rookie on a rookie deal.
Yeah.
You've got Justin Jefferson and T.J. Hockenson. You've got a lot of your guys locked in. And that's what you want. You don't want the uncertainty that you had this season.
And we have the second oldest roster in the NFL, and this weekend we're facing the fourth youngest. So,
and that's part of the churn, and I feel like that's one of the reasons why the 2022 draft for Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is going to go down in history as being an utter failure, because he came in, tried to fill all of these holes at once, and you wanted to put all this caulking down there. Well, guess what? There's nothing in the gun. It doesn't stick, and that's okay. But he's learned from it, traded away Andrew Booth, you know, released Lewis Cine. You put your arms up and say, you know what? Sometimes we try something and it didn't work, and that's okay. Because ultimately, if you're not going to fix your mistakes, you're bound to do it again. One thing that the Vikings did do in the offseason is you let Kirk Cousins go, but you need a bridge quarterback. They brought in Sam Darnold. So let me ask you guys, Vikings fans out there, 651-461-9226. Talking with Josh about the expectations for the Vikings. What are we looking for out of Sam Darnold? What makes this a win for Sam Darnold and the Vikings? What kind of outcomes, what kind of ranges are we looking at for Sam Darnold? 651-461-9226. That is the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. This is Sports Saturday. Chris Tubbs in for Steve Thompson here at News Talk 830 WCCO. So are we going to be hearing this Viking, Skol Viking song a lot after a win or after a loss? That is TBD. How is Sam Darnold going to do in his first year in purple? Is it going to be his only year in purple? Who knows? Like, best case scenario for the Vikings is, I think you look at Sam Darnold being a serviceable quarterback, and maybe he plays himself into the conversation of coming back next year. Who knows? So many unknowns, and like I said before, this is just going to be so interesting from a fan's perspective, because it could go one of like 25 different ways, and that's the joy of it. Now, when it comes to Samuel Richard Darnold, he's your starting quarterback. And the pomp and circumstance around Sam Darnold was not necessarily pomp nor circumstance. It was more like a wah-wah when fans found out, oh, great, you're going to sign Sam Darnold. Here's the thing about Sam Darnold, okay? I'm going to make the case for Samuel Richard Darnold. Is the number one pick, yes, in the 2018 draft by the New York Jets. And we know that the Jets are historically not a very good team when it comes to developing quarterbacks. I think, can we make that case, Josh? Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay. The New York Jets are...
There was a glimmer with Chad Pennington, but that's about it.
Well, the same thing with the butt fumble Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, okay.
But Mark Sanchez made it to the AFC Championship game his rookie year. I mean, Sam Darnold was just 20 years old when he was drafted by the New York Jets. I mean, he threw 31 touchdowns, 9 interceptions as a redshirt, and they beat Penn State, who, by the way, had Saquon Barkley in the Rose Bowl game. But the Jets are one of those teams. This is why the Lions have finally succeeded, because they stopped hiring and firing guys on a year-to-year basis. You let things play out. That's why the Lions could never restore the roar. It was more of a meow, right? There was no roar. It was a meow. The Browns are having the same problem. You will not have success in the NFL, and none of your players, especially young players that you're looking to develop, will never have success if you don't give them continuity and consistency. Now, the defense for the Jets his first 3 years, 29th, 32nd, 32nd in yardage allowed during the three seasons. Now, he did throw 39 interceptions and lost 7 fumbles. But then you trade him to the Carolina Panthers. Oh, fantastic. There you go. That's going to do it for you.
Yeah.
I mean, the Carolina Panthers, right? I mean, this is the beacon of quarterback play. Oh, wait. Yeah, Matt Rhule fired after 11 losses at the end of the 21 season to the start of 22. Now, Darnold started 2 games. Both losses due to a shoulder injury and being benched for your guy, Baker Mayfield, yeah, who apparently is on a Hall of Fame trajectory.
I mean, here's where I tie that in with this story is I'm a believer in Sam Darnold this season because I feel like he can duplicate what Baker did last year, because nobody, I've, for good reason, had any confidence that Baker was going to accomplish anything in Tampa. He thought maybe it was just another journeyman quarterback going with another team. And to be honest, that whole mess in Carolina is still a mess. So what happened with the cup of coffee that was Baker Mayfield in Carolina, as well as Sam Darnold being in Carolina, is that is a coaching disaster that is just – there's no help to be had there.
No, you're trying to clean up. It's like you're trying to vacuum a carpet with a mop.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You can't clean it up. Frank Reich was a very good offensive coordinator, but he didn't do anybody any good from, you know, Carolina, Sam Darnold, and now to Bryce Young, who, you know, I know that, you know, he's, you know, not there any longer. But you mentioned Baker Mayfield. When you've got guys that are drafted high, you're drafted high because you're drafted into a situation where the team's not very good.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Baker Mayfield. They gave him all, you know, the ample opportunity to succeed in Cleveland. it just didn't work. I think the best part about Baker were the commercials in Cleveland. No disrespect. I know you're an OU guy.
His best stats were in Cleveland.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
But then he goes to Carolina.
Yep.
And then a cup of coffee with the Rams. And I thought, see, that right there, Baker Mayfield connected with Sean McVay.
Yeah.
That was the
light bulb for me, too.
Yes.
Here's a guy that can sit Baker in a corner and be like, here.
Nobody puts Baker in a corner.
Yes. Here's what is wrong with you. Here is where you're at in your career. I'm here to help clean up your path before it turns into a disaster. Well, that's exactly what I mean. That Raiders game is still a game that's talked about somewhat of lore, because you make a 98-yard drive and what, 48 seconds happen? Like, that's just not something that happens every day in football.
Did you just say a coach sits somebody down and says, this is what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I mean, it does happen. We learned that. That's what Mike Zimmer apparently did with the Vikings. But here's the thing. Ironically, we're talking about number one and number three in the 2018 draft. That's kind of the funny trajectory that both these guys have been on, and I think that's why Sam still has potential with the right coaching tree above him.
Yeah, he had a chance.
KOC is a great quarterback mind.
Yeah, he absolutely is. And I know that, you know, I had this conversation with a couple of different people, including, you know, I had it with H. Lake and a couple of times during, you know, the Lake Show, is that Kevin O'Connell is very good at orchestrating and creating offenses. He was the one that helped Sean McVay create that offense in Los Angeles with Cooper Kupp, with Matthew Stafford, yeah, with whoever the running back du jour is. This was an offense that Kevin O'Connell knows how to get the best out of his quarterbacks. And when Sam Darnold reset his career with Kyle Shanahan last year, he got a taste of what the West Coast offense, what this offense is.
Yeah.
So Sam Darnold coming into this season, I'm not expecting him to put up Kirk Cousins type numbers, but you've got two very good bookend tackles in O'Neal and Darisaw. You've got Jordan Addison and some, you know, Justin Jefferson, apparently he's, you know, okay at catching the footballs. TJ Hockenson is eventually going to come off IR. You've got Aaron Jones, who you may only have for 1 year. You've got a situation, and I know you guys have heard it. If you guys are Vikings fans, you've seen it, you've heard it, you've read it. You're probably tired of hearing about it. But Sam Darnold is going to be okay in this offense. Kirk Cousins was a very good statistical quarterback. But is Kirk Cousins a guy that can win you a lot of games when it comes to the playoffs? I don't think so. He's the missing piece for the Atlanta Falcons to, I feel, be a serious contender in the division. In the NFC South, I don't think Atlanta's a Super Bowl caliber team.
No.
Kirk Cousins is not a quarterback. Sam Darnold, I think, is not a quarterback that is going to get you to the playoffs, but I think Sam Darnold is a guy with the guys that he's got to throw to. He is more than serviceable to keep you competitive. And I think for the Vikings, at the end of this half hour, the Vikings will be competitive in a lot of games. I don't know that they've got the horses to win a lot of those, but I don't think that Sam Darnold is going to be the reason that you lose a lot of games this year if you're the Minnesota Vikings. That's the way that I look at it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. StylesFinancial.com, talking text line 651-461-9226. Coming up next, take a look at the weather, and then an interesting question I had with my wife and my daughter when we went to a Minnesota Twins game a couple of weeks ago. It's about the national anthem and national anthem etiquette. We know what it is, but why isn't the same for everybody inside the stadium? Because not everybody is treating it the same when you're at the sporting event. And I'll ask you why. Get your thoughts next. Sports Saturday. Chris Tubbs in for Steve Thompson here. News Talk 830 WCCO. Okay, so if you're coming to America and you go to a sporting event, we have this thing called the national anthem that are played before almost every sporting event. whether it's high school, college, professional. And there has been a bugaboo since Colin Kaepernick kneeled years ago, which, by the way, he was told by a former Green Beret, Nate Boyer, that is that if that's how you want to celebrate the military, that is what you do. But this isn't a conversation about that. This is a conversation about the etiquette for fans and attendees at a sporting event. Because we know that when you are in a stadium watching a sporting event, that the etiquette, for the most part, is to stand, remove your hat, put your hand on your heart. You know, some people put it, you know, crossed over in front of them or behind their back, and look up at the flag or eyes shut and sing along with the national anthem. Here's my question to you guys at 651-461-9226. That is the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. My family and I were at a Twins game maybe a couple of weeks tonight. The Twins took on St. Louis. And we were on the concourse towards our seats. National anthem played. We stopped. We went over as close as we could on the concourse to get a look at the flag and, you know, did the thing during the anthem. There are others that whether you're in line buying a beer or getting a burger or whatever, there are some individuals that it was just business as usual, continued their conversation, continued ordering whatever it was that they were ordering, and didn't even acknowledge the national anthem. So what do you do in that situation? If you are at a game and you hear the national anthem and you are in line at the concession stand, do you stop what you're doing and take off your hat and you just stand there in silence? Or do you continue what you're doing? And if you don't, is that disrespectful? Do you find that disrespectful in any way? Because I never really even thought about it until we were talking about it on the way back. I'm like, you know, that's kind of a good question. Not to steal Jason DeRush's bit, but it's kind of a good question. Because when you're not actually in the stadium facing the flag, I mean, does it not happen? You hear it, but you don't really do anything. I'm just kind of curious, what is the etiquette? What is the etiquette for most people? 651-461-9226. Because I don't know. I don't know. Like, to me, I stop. But I've done that like all my life. For me, it's ingrained in me. But is it a big deal if somebody doesn't stop what they're doing for the national anthem? I mean, if you were to see that, Josh, and I'm sure we've all seen it, because people, when you're at home and you're watching the game, odds are you're probably not standing for the national anthem in your living room or at the sports bar.
Yeah.
Do we treat it differently when you're not in the stadium?
I'll take you through a time capsule. Do you remember the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome?
Yes, I do.
Not a lot of ways to nest, even in a concrete jungle that is the Metrodome, not a lot of ways to kind of hear what's going on inside the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So instances like that I can see as being an issue.
Where you don't know what's going on. Like, yeah, it's kind of muffled.
And there's such a muffle with Target Field as well, where if I'm grabbing a beer and my head's in the concession stands and I'm trying to listen to what the person serving is trying to say, kind of blocks everything out in the moment for those at least 30 to 60 or however long you're
there.
But, I mean,
you know what's happening, though, right? Like, you know the anthem is playing.
Not necessarily. The only way I know, and I'm saying this as a guy who used to be a vendor as well as a guy that frequently does or tries to frequently go to games, is the only way I know is if the fireworks are going off. That's the only way I really know, because if I hear the boom, boom, boom from, you know, Rockets Red Glare, then I'll know. So that's kind of my thing.
Okay.
But
all right, do have a couple of text messages here on the stylesfinancial.com talking text line. Somebody here from the 952, frankly, I don't see why it needs to be played. I will stand with my hat on my hand on my heart if I'm at an event. But in the last few years, if it's on TV, I turn off the sound for a few minutes when it starts. It's been, you know, co-opted by individuals, and what they've done is turn it into a symbol of their lockstep march, and appreciate that. And I feel like I don't want to politicize this because it is unfortunately something that is being politicized, and it shouldn't be. This should not be politicized. But we've just gotten to the point where it is. Here's another one. At least the concessions turn off their lights from the 612 and don't take orders during the national anthem. See, that I was not aware. I did not see any of the concessions that turned off their lights. So I didn't see that anywhere that they did. And maybe, yeah, maybe they do. So it's, I'm gonna have to notice that. I'm gonna take a look next week at the Vikings game when the Vikings open up the season, the home season against the San Francisco 49ers. I'm gonna take a look at that because it's very, very interesting. Let's head to the stylesfinancial.com talk line and let's hear from Rommel in Gaylord. Hopefully I said your name correctly, Rommel.
That is correct. It's like Rochelle with an M.
Nice, nice. Well, hey, thanks for calling in, man. What you got?
Yes, I agree with you. Everybody should stop and acknowledge the national anthem just the way you said.
I mean,
go
ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Continue your thought here, Rommel. The floor is yours.
Okay. And I was taught that at one of my jobs. For 35 seasons, I was a pure mutual teller at Canterbury. I started there in 1985 when they opened. And even though I would have done it anyway, our supervisors instructed all the employees that when the national anthem comes on, whether you have somebody in line, you're visiting with your coworkers because there's nobody in line, mm-hmm. you stop what you're doing, you face the flag, you put your hand to your heart, you sing along or hum along or whatever you want to do to the national anthem, but you show respect for our flag and our wonderful country.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I was going to say, Rommel, I don't understand why sometimes there seems to be different rules for people that are at different parts of the stadium. You know what I mean? It's like you do it here, yeah, but you don't do it there. Well, why are we not upset at the people that don't do it when it becomes such a point of consternation for others?
Well, there have been times where I have had people in line that were betting before. Of course, we are accepting bets before the national anthem, long before the national anthem. And the minute we hear the national anthem was going to be done, I would stop what I was doing, put my hand to my heart, and stand straight. And if they kept on talking, I said, "I'm sorry, sir. The national anthem is coming on, and we must show respect to our flag and our country." And for the first few, you know, if I had a line of like 10 or 20 or 30 people, the first few people would hear it. And 99% of the time, they would stop, turn around, look at the flag, do the same thing. Some of them towards the end of the line may not have, because some people just keep gabbing and gabbing and gabbing. And even if it's announced on the loudspeaker, they hear nothing.
Yep.
Or the loudspeakers are faced the wrong way, like your coworker, where you don't hear the announcement and you don't realize it's going on.
Yeah. Well, Rommel, I appreciate the call. That's Rommel from Gaylord. And I think there's something to that. Absolutely. Got one more text here before we take a break from the 651. We were at CHS Field not too long ago, and the workers were where we were ordering treats. All stopped working and honored the anthem. When we were at the state fair during parade time, we were among the few who honored the flag when it went by. My son's girlfriend even took her hat off. That's awesome. And I don't want this to be a flag etiquette or a, I don't want this to come off as saying you have to do one thing or another, because I am all about the right to protest. I'm all about the right to do whatever you feel. But I do wonder why there are different rules and regulations depending on where you are at in the stadium. And as for, you know, the son's girlfriend taking her hat off, that is the one thing that bugs me when I'm at games and people won't take their hats off. I'm like, I mean, you don't have to be Meg Griffin and have the stocking cap, but I mean, come on, man, read the room, read the room. It's common. Yeah. It's respect. Again, I'm all about the right to protest, whatever. I'm totally about that. But I mean, for everything that's good, just take your hat off.
There is some obliviousness or maybe unknowingness to it too. I know sometimes I don't even know if my hat is on, to be completely honest. I know.
How do you not know you're wearing a hat, dude?
I feel my hat top of my head all the time, and sometimes don't know if it's on or not. When it's not one of these, like if it's a winter cap or something, I sometimes won't know. But I don't know. I'm not saying it's okay at all, but I'm just saying there's a lot of people to the point where maybe they just aren't aware of it, I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to give some people the benefit of the doubt here, but not so much.
Yeah. They get the benefit of a doubt. Maybe. Maybe they don't. Hey, 651-461-9226. That is the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. We talked about Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings. We have an update on Jordan Love. Ugly-looking injury last night late in the Packers' loss to the Eagles. We'll get you the latest on the Packers' young quarterback. Good news for the Pack. We'll tell you about it next here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I see what you did there, Josh Wheeler. It's the power of love. Well, that's what the Packers are hoping to see. They had it last night, but didn't get enough of it. I mean, these first two games of the NFL season, to quote a famous current wrestler, banger after banger, because you had two of the heavyweights in the AFC kick it off on Thursday, and then you had the Eagles over the Packers last night. And the big news coming out of that was quarterback Jordan Love. It looked nasty when his left knee was pushed inward, looked like it popped. And a lot of concern last night that maybe this was a serious injury for Jordan Love. Well, numerous reports have come out just early this afternoon that he's been diagnosed with an MCL sprain. He's expected to miss some time, will not be out for the season. And it sounds like it's going to be about 3 to 6 weeks for Jordan Love, which is really, really good news for the Green Bay Packers, considering it looked like it could have been really bad. And let me say this as a Vikings fan. Yes, we have fun at each other's expenses, because we hate the Packers. Packers hate us. We hate the Bears. The Bears hate us. The Lions are just kind of like, okay, congratulations, you're finally having success. But you never, ever, unless you are an awful human being, you never want to see somebody get hurt, especially an ascending young player like Jordan Love. So really good news for the Packers that he's only going to be out for maybe a month and a half. We'll have to wait and see. Good news, though, for yeah. Green Bay.
Packers know all too well our pain from last year, because it happened right on the green grass of Lambeau Field.
Yes, it did. And by the way, Josh, we were kind of talking about, you know, like, the turf, this. You guys just got to clam up with the turf. Like, knock it off.
Let's calm down.
I mean, everybody's like, it's the turf. You know what? Everybody is complaining about the turf, okay? Turfs are bad everywhere. You always run into it. But, I mean, come on, guys. It was an unfortunate play. Just be thankful that he's not out for a significant period of time. Got a question for y'all. Is this the best it gets for the Gophers under PJ Fleck? It's got to get better than this, right? We'll answer that question next on CCO.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome into Sports Saturday here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm not Stevie T. I'm Christopher T. And for Stevie T, Stevie T's got the day off, but it's Sports Saturday. It's Saturday. We're going to talk sports because that's what we're going to do. I'm going to take you up until Twins baseball coming up at about 5:30 live from Kauffman Stadium. The desperately seeking a win Minnesota Twins against the Kansas City Royals. Talk with Bobby Nightingale a little bit later on in the show about the Minnesota Twins, but we're going to kick it off with the Minnesota Vikings because this is a season that Vikings fans, I don't know if you've been dreading it, but you shouldn't. This is a season you should embrace because there's so much uncertainty, and this is such an unusual position for the Minnesota Vikings to be in that this should excite you. The expectations are so low, but that could be a good thing. Because once you let Kirk Cousins walk, the intention for this season was clear. You're looking to hit the reset button and really mold this team in the vision of Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell. When they took over, there was a lot of work that they had to do with the roster, with the salary cap, and knowing what we know now, it was much worse. This is like going into a house and you have the inspection and you realize that's, you're seeing more mold. You've got termite damage and you're thinking, okay, we really have to do some work on this house before we're going to purchase. Because they had an aging roster with salary cap issues, and they tried to run this team back several times, and they finally had to say this wasn't working. This is going to be a transition year, and Vikings fans, that's okay. Because teams do it all the time. The Vikings have always looked to try and ride that fine line. This year, you drafted a rookie quarterback. Granted, he's on IR. The reps in practice, he's not going to get those. That stinks. I don't think that's going to affect him long-term whatsoever. You added a few pieces to the defense. You locked in your right tackle, your left tackle, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson, and you know that you have a ton of cap space in 2024. So here's my question to Minnesota Vikings fans. You can call me or text me at 651-461-9226. It's the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. What is a successful season for the Minnesota Vikings? Is it hitting the Vegas over if you're a gambling degenerate like, you know, those of us in present company? I'm going to include my boy Josh Wheeler because you like to put a little bit of money down. And you,
I do. There's
nothing like a healthy sweat, right? I mean, it's good to have a healthy sweat.
Yeah. Okay. No, I get you. It's I probably would. Do we know what the over-under is right now? On,
6.5.
6.5.
Depending on what book you're looking at, it's 6.5 to 7. But I say 6.5.
I would hammer the over. I think this team's good enough for at least an 8th spot, if not better.
Okay. Well, yeah. See, that's going to be my question. If you're a degenerate like Josh is, 6.5, hammer the over. Is it beating the Packers twice? Is it being, quote, in the hunt? You know how you get those graphics in November and December and you're like, oh, in the hunt, even though you're like on the bottom of the graphic? Is that good enough? Is a success for you guys, is it being around 500, like Josh says, 8 or 9 or 9 and 8? Is it Justin Jefferson putting up massive numbers? Is it Sam Darnold putting up Kirk Cousins-like numbers? Is it getting in the playoffs? Or is success for Vikings fans bottoming out and getting a top 5 pick for next year? Because everything is on the table. We have no idea what this team is going to be, and that is the beauty of this year for Vikings fans. 651-461-9226. Because I got to tell you, for me, I think a success is just seeing some of these guys develop. I'm not worried about wins and losses. I've got exactly zero expectations, and that's okay. It's all right, because I heard my guy H. Lake last night talking about it as well, and he's absolutely right, and I kind of wanted to piggyback off of that. Is that it's okay to go into the season and not know what to expect. And we say that every year because the Vikings are just incredibly infuriating and inconsistent.
Yeah, here's the thing about that, though. You say that, but you can also, and I've analyzed it from front to back, you can also say that when you're in Chicago's shoes and you drafted the number one quarterback in the draft. I don't think you can really, as a Chicago fan, know what to expect with your team either. Even with the talent, you have an elite wide receiver just like the Vikings do. I'm not going to compare Caleb Williams to Sam Darnold because that's TBD as far as the talent level there.
But at the same time, they drafted Caleb Williams, number one overall, putting him in there. I mean, they've got expectations for Caleb Williams. Like, they are expecting to be a much better offense. Yeah, because you've got DJ Moore. Keenan Allen, you brought him in, banged up. I don't know that Keenan Allen is going to be the needle mover that they think that he is.
No.
But you did bring in DeAndre Swift as well. I mean, the Bears should have a better offense. There's no question. The Bears absolutely should have a better offense. But I don't know, like, the expectations for the Bears, I think, are going to be different than the expectations for the Vikings. The Bears are expecting to not be last place.
Yeah.
If the Bears finish in second or third in this brutal division, then guess what? It's a success for Chicago because they're taking a step up. But the Vikings, like, they've been a middle-of-the-pack team. Now, I know, you know, there was going to be some regression. You know, when you're 13-4 a couple of years ago, that was smoke and mirrors. Last year, maybe the pendulum swung in the other direction. But you drafted J.J. McCarthy, not going to play this year. You drafted Dallas Turner. You've got Jonathan Grenard. You're replacing some of these other guys. You don't have a secondary to speak of whatsoever. You know, Stephon Gilmore, I know that the signing, it's like, okay, well, that signals that we're going to be competitive. Is it going to be enough to be competitive? I don't know. I think the Stephon Gilmore signing is just window dressing. It doesn't move the needle for me.
It's the same. I'm going to equate it to the Vikings retaining Harrison Smith. You know, it's like, it's cool because you have that name, but let's be honest, isn't he on like a 1-year deal now? Like, isn't this Harrison Smith's basically goodbye season with the Vikings?
It could be every year.
It's I don't like calling him a non-factor because at his age and his skill level, he's been a, kind of still a factor, but also he's not among the top 20 safeties in the NFL anymore. Like, I've looked at the list, and there's been a lot of people that have kept him off that list going into the season.
But what is the criteria, though, for somebody like Harrison Smith to be a top 20 safety? I mean, the guy's 35 years old at this point. He's gone through multiple defensive coordinators. I think this is where Brian Flores and the Brian Flores impact really is a benefit to the Vikings, because you can take a guy like Harrison Smith. One thing that Brian Flores done is everywhere he's gone, and I know that Tua Tagovailoa has his issues with him when he was a head coach and, you know, all of that stuff. I'm not including that. But as a coordinator, he is as good as anybody the Vikings have had in many, many years in scheming and figuring out how to use people to their strengths.
Yeah.
So Ed Donatell, I'm not even going to put the D because there was no D when Ed Donatell was here. He didn't know what to do with a guy like Harrison Smith. I feel like you can put him in different situations. You can disguise coverages because it allows Harrison Smith to do what he does best. And you're not expecting him to be that player he was 5 years ago. I feel like one thing with the Vikings is the safeties, as weak as the cornerbacks are, I feel like the safeties, it's one of the top five safety groups in the NFL. I mean, as a total, you know,
But you also mentioned, you know, the Gilmore signing, and we had caller on a couple weeks ago, I think when I was filling on the huddle, and he said that, and this was more of a, I guess, response to like the why of the why we signed him. Vikings maybe saw something like a missing piece to the defense to get them over that hump as, all right, we just need one more name to kind of get us into that conversation of, okay, we're an actual contender. Whether that is an actual, you know, to be the case kind of scenario for him is, you know, we'll see. But obviously the Vikings saw something in him at that age and that skill level where it's like, all right, now we're filled in. We filled in all the blanks.
Well, let me ask you this in terms of Stephon Gilmore in the secondary. What hump does he get you over? Does he get you over being a 5-win team to a 7-win team? Because this team, he's not the difference in a playoff spot. Like, Stephon Gilmore is not going to be the difference in a wild card or a division winning team. Like, this team, unless everything else falls apart in the division, they are not going to win the division. They're not going to finish second. I don't see that. And I'm a diehard Vikings fan.
No, but there's a legit chance this team will be fourth in the North.
Yeah, and legitimately. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because, again, you're going into next season with a ton of salary cap room. J.J. McCarthy, rookie, you know, essentially a rookie on a rookie deal.
Yeah.
You've got Justin Jefferson and T.J. Hockenson. You've got a lot of your guys locked in. And that's what you want. You don't want the uncertainty that you had this season.
And we have the second oldest roster in the NFL. And this weekend we're facing the fourth youngest. So.
And that's part of the churn. And I feel like that's one of the reasons why the 2022 draft for Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is going to go down in history as being an utter failure, because he came in, tried to fill all of these holes at once, and you wanted to put all this caulking down there. Well, guess what? There's nothing in the gun.
Yeah.
It doesn't stick, and that's okay. But he's learned from it, traded away Andrew Booth, you know, released Louis Cine. You put your arms up and say, you know what? Sometimes we try something and it didn't work. And that's okay. Because ultimately, if you're not going to fix your mistakes, you're bound to do it again. One thing that the Vikings did do in the offseason is you let Kirk Cousins go, but you need a bridge quarterback. They brought in Sam Darnold. So let me ask you guys, Vikings fans out there, 651-461-9226. Talking with Josh about the expectations for the Vikings. What are we looking for out of Sam Darnold? What makes this a win for Sam Darnold and the Vikings? What kind of outcomes, what kind of ranges are we looking at for Sam Darnold? 651-461-9226. That is the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. This is Sports Saturday. Chris Tubbs in for Steve Thompson here at Newstalk 830 WCCO. So are we going to be hearing this Viking, Skol Viking song a lot after a win or after a loss? That is TBD. How is Sam Darnold going to do in his first year in purple? Is it going to be his only year in purple? Who knows? I think best case scenario for the Vikings is, I think you look at Sam Darnold being a serviceable quarterback, and maybe he plays himself into the conversation of coming back next year. Who knows? So many unknowns, and like I said before, this is just going to be so interesting from a fan's perspective, because it could go one of like 25 different ways, and that's the joy of it. Now, when it comes to Samuel Richard Darnold, he's your starting quarterback. And the pomp and circumstance around Sam Darnold was not necessarily pomp nor circumstance. It was more like a wah-wah when fans found out, oh, great, you're going to sign Sam Darnold. Here's the thing about Sam Darnold, okay? I'm going to make the case for Samuel Richard Darnold. Is the number one pick, yes, in the 2018 draft by the New York Jets. And we know that the Jets are historically not a very good team when it comes to developing quarterbacks. I think, can we make that case, Josh? Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay. The New York Jets are... I mean,
there was a glimmer with Chad Pennington, but that's about it.
Well, the same thing with the butt fumble Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, okay.
But Mark Sanchez made it to the AFC Championship game his rookie year. I mean, Sam Darnold was just 20 years old when he was drafted by the New York Jets. I mean, he threw 31 touchdowns, 9 interceptions as a redshirt, and they beat Penn State, who, by the way, had Saquon Barkley in the Rose Bowl game. But the Jets are one of those teams. This is why the Lions have finally succeeded, because they stopped hiring and firing guys on a year-to-year basis. You let things play out. That's why the Lions could never restore the roar. It was more of a meow, right? There was no roar. It was a meow. The Browns are having the same problem. You will not have success in the NFL, and none of your players, especially young players that you're looking to develop, will never have success if you don't give them continuity and consistency. Now, the defense for the Jets his first 3 years, 29th, 32nd, 32nd in yardage allowed during the three seasons. Now, he did throw 39 interceptions and lost 7 fumbles. But then you trade him to the Carolina Panthers. Oh, fantastic. There you go. That's going to do it for you.
Yeah.
I mean, the Carolina Panthers, right? I mean, this is the beacon of quarterback play. Oh, wait. Yeah, Matt Rhule fired after 11 losses at the end of the 21 season to the start of 22. Now, Darnold started 2 games, both losses, due to a shoulder injury and being benched for your guy, Baker Mayfield, yeah, who apparently is on a Hall of Fame trajectory.
I mean, here's where I tie that in with this story, is I'm a believer in Sam Darnold this season because I feel like he can duplicate what Baker did last year. Because nobody, for good reason, had any confidence that Baker was going to accomplish anything in Tampa. He thought maybe it was just another journeyman quarterback going with another team. And to be honest, that whole mess in Carolina is still a mess. So what happened with the cup of coffee that was Baker Mayfield in Carolina, as well as mm-hmm. Sam Darnold being in Carolina, is that is a coaching disaster that is just, there's no help to be had there.
No, you're trying to yeah, clean up. It's like you're trying to vacuum a carpet with a mop.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You can't clean it up. Frank Reich was a very good offensive coordinator, but he didn't do anybody any good from, you know, Carolina, Sam Darnold, and now to Bryce Young, who, you know, I know that, you know, he's, you know, not there any longer. But you mentioned Baker Mayfield. When you've got guys that are drafted high, you're drafted high because you're drafted into a situation where the team's not very good.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Baker Mayfield. They gave him all, you know, the ample opportunity to succeed in Cleveland. It just didn't work. I think the best part about Baker were the commercials in Cleveland. No disrespect. I know you're an OU guy.
His best stats were in Cleveland.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
But then he goes to Carolina.
Yep.
And then a cup of coffee with the Rams. And I thought, see, that right there, Baker Mayfield connected with Sean McVay.
Yeah.
That was the
light bulb for me too. Is
yes.
Here's a guy that can sit Baker in a corner and be like, here.
Nobody puts Baker in a corner.
Yes. Here's what is wrong with you. Here is where you're at in your career. I'm here to help clean up your path before it turns into a disaster. Well, that's exactly what I mean. That Raiders game is still it's still a game that's talked about somewhat of lore, because you make a 98-yard drive and what, 48 seconds happen? Like, that's just not something that happens every day in football.
Did you just say a coach sits somebody down and says, this is what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I mean, it does happen. We learned that. That's what Mike Zimmer apparently did with the Vikings. But here's the thing. Ironically, we're talking about number one and number three in the 2018 draft. That's kind of the funny trajectory that both these guys have been on, and I think that's why Sam still has potential with the right coaching tree above him.
Yeah, he had a chance.
KOC's a great quarterback mind.
Yeah, he absolutely is. And I know that, you know, I had this conversation with a couple of different people, including, you know, I had it with H. Lake and a couple of times during, you know, the Lake Show, is that Kevin O'Connell is very good at orchestrating and creating offenses. He was the one that helped Sean McVay create that offense in Los Angeles with Cooper Kupp, with Matthew Stafford, yeah, with whoever the running back du jour is. This was an offense that Kevin O'Connell knows how to get the best out of his quarterbacks. And when Sam Darnold reset his career with Kyle Shanahan last year, he got a taste of what the West Coast offense, what this offense is.
Yeah.
So Sam Darnold coming into this season, I'm not expecting him to put up Kirk Cousins type numbers, but you've got two very good bookend tackles in O'Neal and Darisaw. You've got Jordan Addison and some, you know, Justin Jefferson, apparently he's, you know, okay at catching the footballs. TJ Hockenson is eventually going to come off IR. You've got Aaron Jones, who you may only have for 1 year. You've got a situation, and I know you guys have heard it. If you guys are Vikings fans, you've seen it, you've heard it, you've read it. You're probably tired of hearing about it. But Sam Darnold is going to be okay in this offense. Kirk Cousins was a very good statistical quarterback. But is Kirk Cousins a guy that can win you a lot of games when it comes to the playoffs? I don't think so. He's the missing piece for the Atlanta Falcons to, I feel, be a serious contender in the division. In the NFC South, I don't think Atlanta's a Super Bowl caliber team. Kirk Cousins is not a quarterback. Sam Darnold, I think, is not a quarterback that is going to get you to the playoffs, but I think Sam Darnold is a guy with the guys that he's got to throw to. He is more than serviceable to keep you competitive. And I think for the Vikings, at the end of this half hour, the Vikings will be competitive in a lot of games. I don't know that they've got the horses to win a lot of those, but I don't think that Sam Darnold is going to be the reason that you lose a lot of games this year if you're the Minnesota Vikings. That's the way that I look at it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. StylesFinancial.com, talk and text line 651-461-9226. Coming up next, take a look at the weather. And then an interesting question I had with my wife and my daughter when we went to a Minnesota Twins game a couple of weeks ago. It's about the national anthem and national anthem etiquette. We know what it is, but why isn't the same for everybody inside the stadium? Because not everybody is treating it the same when you're at the sporting event. And I'll ask you why. Get your thoughts next. Sports Saturday. Chris Tubbs in for Steve Thompson here. News Talk 830 WCCO. Okay, so if you're coming to America and you go to a sporting event, we have this thing called the national anthem that are played before almost every sporting event, whether it's high school, college, professional. And there has been a bugaboo since Colin Kaepernick kneeled years ago, which, by the way, he was told by a former Green Beret, Nate Boyer, that is that if that's how you want to celebrate the military, that is what you do. But this isn't a conversation about that. This is a conversation about the etiquette for fans and attendees at a sporting event. Because we know that when you are in a stadium watching a sporting event, that the etiquette, for the most part, is to stand, remove your hat, put your hand on your heart. You know, some people put it, you know, crossed over in front of them or behind their back, and look up at the flag or eyes shut and sing along with the national anthem. Here's my question to you guys. At 651-461-9226. That is the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. My family and I were at a Twins game maybe a couple of weeks tonight. The Twins took on St. Louis. And we were on the concourse towards our seats. National anthem played. We stopped. We went over as close as we could on the concourse to get a look at the flag. And, you know, did the thing during the anthem. There are others that whether you're in line buying a beer or getting a burger or whatever, there are some individuals that it was just business as usual. Continued their conversation, continued ordering whatever it was that they were ordering, and didn't even acknowledge the national anthem. So What do you do in that situation? If you are at a game and you hear the national anthem and you are in line at the concession stand, do you stop what you're doing and take off your hat and you just stand there in silence? Or do you continue what you're doing? And if you don't, is that disrespectful? Do you find that disrespectful in any way? Because I never really even thought about it until we were talking about it on the way back. I'm like, you know, that's kind of a good question. Not to steal Jason DeRush's bit, but it's kind of a good question. Because when you're not actually in the stadium facing the flag, I mean, does it not happen? You hear it, but you don't really do anything. I'm just kind of curious, what is the etiquette? What is the etiquette for most people? 651-461-9226. Because I don't know. I don't know. Like, to me, I stop. But I've done that, like, all my life. For me, it's ingrained in me. But is it a big deal if somebody doesn't stop what they're doing for the national anthem? I mean, if you were to see that, Josh, and I'm sure we've all seen it, because people, when you're at home and you're watching the game, odds are you're probably not standing for the national anthem in your living room or at the sports bar.
Yeah.
Do we treat it differently when you're not in the stadium?
I'll take you through a time capsule. Do you remember the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome?
Yes, I do.
Not a lot of ways to nest, even in a concrete jungle that is the Metrodome, not a lot of ways to kind of hear what's going on inside the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So instances like that I can see as being an issue.
Where you don't know what's going on. Like, yeah, it's kind of muffled.
And there's such a muffle with Target Field as well, where if I'm grabbing a beer and my head's in the concession stands and I'm trying to listen to what the person serving is trying to say, kind of blocks everything out in the moment for those at least 30 to 60 or however long
you're there. But, I mean, you know what's happening, though, right? Like, you know the anthem is playing.
Not necessarily. The only way I know, and I'm saying this as a guy who used to be a vendor as well as a guy that frequently does or tries to frequently go to games, is the only way I know is if the fireworks are going off. That's the only way I really know, because if I hear the boom, boom, boom from, you know, Rockets Red Glare, then I'll know. So that's kind of my thing.
Okay.
But
all right, I do have a couple of text messages here on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. Somebody here from the 952, frankly, I don't see why it needs to be played. I will stand with my hat on my hand on my heart if I'm at an event. But in the last few years, if it's on TV, I turn off the sound for a few minutes when it starts. It's been, co-opted by individuals, and what they've done is turn it into a symbol of their lockstep march, and appreciate that. And I feel like I don't want to politicize this, because it is unfortunately something that is being politicized, and it shouldn't be. This should not be politicized. But we've just gotten to the point where it is. Here's another one. At least the concessions turn off their lights, from the 612, and don't take orders during the national anthem. See, that I was not aware. I did not see any of the concessions that turned off their lights. So I didn't see that anywhere that they did. And maybe they do. So I'm gonna have to notice that. I'm gonna take a look next week at the Vikings game, when the Vikings open up the season, the home season against the San Francisco 49ers. I'm going to take a look at that, because it's very, very interesting. Let's head to the StylesFinancial.com talk line, and let's hear from Rommel in Gaylord. Hopefully I said your name correctly, Rommel.
That is correct. It's like Rochelle with an M.
Nice, nice. Well, hey, thanks for calling in, man. What you got?
Yes, I agree with you. Everybody should stop and acknowledge the national anthem just the way you said.
I mean, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Continue your thought here, Rommel. The floor is yours.
Okay. And I was taught that at one of my jobs. For 35 seasons, I was a pari-mutuel teller at Canterbury. I started there in 1985 when they opened. And even though I would have done it anyway, our supervisors instructed all the employees that when the national anthem comes on, whether you have somebody in line, you're visiting with your coworkers because there's nobody in line, you stop what you're doing, you face the flag, you put your hand to your heart, you sing along or hum along or whatever you want to do to the national anthem, but you show respect for our flag and our wonderful country.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I was going to say, Rommel, I don't understand why sometimes there seems to be different rules for people that are at different parts of the stadium. You know what I mean? It's like you do it here, but you don't do it there. Well, why are we not upset at the people that don't do it when it becomes such a point of consternation for others?
Well, there have been times where I have had people in line that were betting before. Of course, we are accepting bets before the national anthem, long before the national anthem. And the minute we hear the national anthem was going to be done, I would stop what I was doing, put my hand to my heart, and stand straight. And if they kept on talking, I said, "I'm sorry, sir, the national anthem is coming on, and we must show respect to our flag and our country." And for the first few, if I had a line of like 10 or 20 or 30 people, the first few people would hear it, and 99% of the time, they would stop, turn around, look at the flag, do the same thing. Some of them towards the end of the line may not have, because some people just keep gabbing and gabbing and gabbing. And even if it's announced on the loudspeaker, they hear nothing.
Yep.
Or the loudspeakers are faced the wrong way, like your
coworker, where you don't hear the announcement and you don't realize it's going on.
Yeah. Well, Rommel, I appreciate the call. That's Rommel from Gaylord. And I think there's something to that. Absolutely. Got one more text here before we take a break from the 651. We were at CHS Field not too long ago, and the workers were where we were ordering treats. All stopped working and honored the anthem. When we were at the state fair during parade time, we were among the few who honored the flag when it went by. My son's girlfriend even took her hat off. That's awesome. And I don't want this to be a flag etiquette or a – I don't want this to come off as saying you have to do one thing or another, because I am all about the right to protest. I'm all about the right to do whatever you feel. But I do wonder what the – why there are different rules and regulations depending on where you are at in the stadium. And as for, you know, the son's girlfriend taking her hat off, that is the one thing that bugs me. When I'm at games and people won't take their hats off, I'm like, I mean, you don't have to be Meg Griffin and have the stocking cap. But I mean, come on, man. Read the room. Read the room. It's common. Yeah. It's respect. Again, I'm all about the right to protest, whatever. I'm totally about that. But I mean, for everything that's good, just take your hat off.
There is some obliviousness or maybe unknowingness to it too. I know. Sometimes I don't even know if my hat is on, to be completely honest. I know.
How do you not know you're wearing a hat, dude?
I feel my hat top of my head all the time, and sometimes don't know if it's on or not. When it's not one of these, like if it's a winter cap or something, I sometimes won't know. But I don't know. I'm not saying it's okay at all, but I'm just saying there's a lot of people to the point where maybe they just aren't aware of it, I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to give some people the benefit of the doubt here, but not so much.
Maybe they get the benefit of a doubt. Maybe they don't. Hey, 651-461-9226. That is the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. We talked about Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings. We have an update on Jordan Love. Ugly-looking injury last night late in the Packers' loss to the Eagles. We'll get you the latest on the Packers' young quarterback. Good news for the Pack. We'll tell you about it next here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I see what you did there, Josh Wheeler. It's the power of love. Well, that's what the Packers are hoping to see. They had it last night, but didn't get enough of it. I mean, these first two games of the NFL season, to quote a famous current wrestler, banger after banger, because you had two of the heavyweights in the AFC kick it off on Thursday, and then you had the Eagles over the Packers last night. And the big news coming out of that was quarterback Jordan Love. It looked nasty when his left knee was pushed inward, looked like it popped. And a lot of concern last night that maybe this was a serious injury for Jordan Love. Well, numerous reports have come out just early this afternoon that he's been diagnosed with an MCL sprain. He's expected to miss some time, will not be out for the season. And it sounds like it's going to be about 3 to 6 weeks for Jordan Love, which is really, really good news for the Green Bay Packers, considering it looked like it could have been really bad. And let me say this as a Vikings fan. Yes, we have fun at each other's expenses, because we hate the Packers. Packers hate us. We hate the Bears. The Bears hate us. The Lions are just kind of like, okay, congratulations, you're finally having success. But you never, ever, unless you are an awful human being, you never want to see somebody get hurt, especially an ascending young player like Jordan Love. So really good news for the Packers that he's only going to be out for maybe a month and a half. We'll have to wait and see. Good news, though, for Green Bay.
Packers know too well our pain from last year, because it happened right on the green grass of Lambeau Field.
Yes, it did. And by the way, Josh, we were kind of talking about, you know, like, the turf, this. You guys just got to clam up with the turf. Like, knock it off.
Let's calm down.
I mean, everybody's like, it's the turf. You know what? Everybody is complaining about the turf, okay?
Turfs are bad everywhere. You always run into it. But, I mean, come on, guys. It was an unfortunate play. Just be thankful that he's not out for a significant period of time. Got a question for y'all. Is this the best it gets for the Gophers under PJ Fleck? It's got to get better than this, right? We'll answer that question next on CCO.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.